It's shotgun night.
So, here's our lineup. They've got their passages. They'll let you know what it is. We're going to go with Mikkel first. We'll lead her off with a guy from up north. Oh, Canada, right? I'll tell you the story how they named that place if you ever want to know. Anyway, we're going to go with Mikkel, and we're going to go with Rich. We're going to have youth served up by Wisdom.
Rich.
Then we're going to have a father and son trio, Will and Lorenzo. Here's your double barrel shotgun. Okay. And then we're going to finish it off with Josh Gold. Okay? So I'll be timing. You're going to have about you got about a minute. I'm going to let you go a little over. So let's get
Mikkel up here and get started. Rock it steady.
Kevin likes that fun, doesn't he? Sometimes at your expense. That's all right. All right. We got a buzzer in the whole nine tonight, or we have the buzzer in the whole nine tonight? Josh told me to go long, so I don't know. I'm at the beginning, so. All right. Well, good evening, everybody. Good to be with you guys. Let's start off. My passage that I was given was Proverbs 15:33. We'll start there. Working with through Proverbs with the kids, actually, and I finished up Proverbs 15:18. So when Mr. Simpson asked me, he's like, 15? I was like, oh, he said 33. I'm like, oh, man, yeah, I haven't made it that far yet. So this is good, though. Proverbs is great. Is everybody from Proverbs or all over? Okay. Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility." Some of Proverbs' passages, I find that they're split. You'll have one, they'll state something, and then they'll state something different in the verse, and not always will they work with each other or be connected. But, and so that, when I read this at first, I was thinking this is one of them. They're two different points. I got 5 minutes. How am I going to hit this? And then I worked on it, and you know what? This is like completely married together perfectly. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. First thing I thought of was Luke chapter 20, and verse 17. It says, "But Jesus looked at them and said, 'What then is this that it is written? That is written, the stone which the builder rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust.'" When I think of this, I think of humility. But then I also think of the wisdom of the Lord, or fear of the Lord. Now, it takes humility to break yourself, to come before a situation, or really to come before the Lord, and to step back and say, "I'm not God. I'm not at point here. I'm not the one calling the shots." And step back, realize that, and then say, "So if I'm not, and you are, what do you want from me? What do you have for me?" And doing that is breaking yourself before the Lord. That's humility before the Lord. And you know what that is? That's fear of the Lord. I fear God. Now, this is a healthy fear. This is like the fear of a son to his father. You know, my boys, they like to push mom sometimes. And I'll drop the hammer and Quinn, and he'll stop. He's a great boy. He's a great boy, but there's a time where he needs to know the fear of dad, right? Well, that's the same for us in our Lord. We need to know the fear. We need to know who he is and the power that he created us, and he created everything around us, and he created a purpose, and he created an eternity. And that is for us. But if we think we are God, or we are greater, or we have something better than what he has prepared for us, then we are proud. And with that pride that most people actually carry, they will stumble. So, another thing in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." That fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We are not going to truly understand anything or put two and two together, two and two equals four together, without understanding God or having that fear for Him. Because we just won't see it. Our pride will get in our way. Will get in the way. And another prayer passage here, and I did not write it down. Oh, hey, wait, I did. 1 Peter chapter 5, 6. Verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time." You know what's awesome about this humility? Even Jesus Himself, He went to the lowest point you could possibly go, and now He is on the throne. We break ourselves, when we humble ourselves before the Lord. And I wrote this really cool thing, and I thought if I read it, you guys would be like, "Well, he took that off the internet." I'll read it, but it's probably really not that good. When we humble ourselves before God and thus become open to His wisdom and instruction, it is then when He will use us, call us His children and heirs to the throne. What greater honor can there be? So, humble yourselves. Fear God, and He will exalt you.
Good evening. My scripture this evening is from 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 5. "You younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders, and all of you, clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. For God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you." This made me think of Proverbs 16, verse 18. "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before stumbling." From a personal perspective, it doesn't matter what you call it, pride, ego, hubris, arrogance, whatever it goes by. I know that when I walked through that door a little over 2 years ago, I was full of all of them. I came in here, I knew my Bible. I'd heard all the stories, the Good Samaritan, prodigal son, heard how Jesus raised Lazarus. Those were the stories that I heard week after week after week. I figured that's pretty much all there was. The first time I sat in the back with Chris and Sister Sue, and I can honestly say after one assembly here, I knew I wasn't in Kansas anymore. It says younger Christians turn to your elders, and that's one of the best things that I could suggest to anyone just starting out. Without the elder Christians here, I would still be sitting in the back just wondering what was going on. These guys have been through the battles that we are going to have to go through. They have brought people out of the darkness and shown them into the light. And that's the job that I am trying to fill their shoes on. they can make our battle go that much more smoothly. Now, humbling yourself before God. This kind of takes me back to what I talked a little bit about this morning, and Kevin also. This, to not humble yourself before God, puts yourself ahead of God. That's, you are focusing on you. And if you ever think that you can place yourself on the same level as God, you need to get in here more often. You need to go to God in praise and realize that all that He is and all that He does, you need to acknowledge that, to take credit for that, for the things in your life for you to take credit for. You are not humbling yourself before God. You are trying to raise yourself to His level. And another thing, if you come in here, if you do the right things, if you are immersed, if you go through the motions and you become a Christian, don't think that's going to cut you any slack with God. He expects more from you as a Christian than before you were a Christian. There are so many examples in the Bible. Korah and all of his followers, they rebelled against Aaron and Moses, and as I've heard many times in here, became a smoking hole. The Hebrews took the Ark of the Covenant into battle without God telling them to do so. They put themselves above God. They let their decisions go before the decisions of God. They not only lost that battle, they lost the most precious possession they had. If we have to pick an example of humbling ourselves, the best one, obviously, is Christ. And one of the best examples I can think of is, as He was going through all the turmoil that He was, knowing what He was about to go through as the Passion was about to begin, He chose to wash the feet of the apostles. He chose not to go to them for comfort, not to go to them so that they could make Him feel better. He chose to serve them. That was the role that He came here for. And that is the role that He wants us to fill.
Evening, church. Isaiah 66. This is my scripture. Verse 1 and 2. It says, "Heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you will build me? And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hand has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word." You know, we serve an incredible God. I mean, there's just nothing else we can say about that. Schaefer's been doing that creation series, and I mean, it really helps to bring to light, you know, what God has done. But even without that, we can take a look around and see just how incredible God is. You know, we can take a look outside and see how great He is, and God doesn't really need anything. But He looks for something in each and every one of us. And He looks for it because He has a plan. What is a contrite spirit? You know, I started thinking about that, and I think, you know, people that are broken before God, that's what I think a contrite spirit is. It's somebody who can actually take a look at themselves and say, "Wow, I need something. I need God. That's what God is looking for. He's looking for that type of a person that realizes their need. They understand they need God. They understand that they've sinned. They understand that, and they may not fully understand all these things, but they understand that something is missing. You know, we're at God's mercy. I mean, basically, we need God. We have to have God's presence in our lives. We have to have an understanding that there's something greater out there than ourselves. And I just truly believe that if you look, I'm going to go to Isaiah 6, chapter 5. I mean, verse 5, excuse me, Isaiah 6, verse 5. It says, "Woe to me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips." You know, Isaiah understood his position. He understood where he was at before God. He understood that he needed God. You know, as people that are contrite spirit, we understand our need for God. We understand our place here on earth. And Isaiah understood that. He understood that he needed God. He understood that he was a man who just was unclean. What are the rewards of having a contrite spirit? Isaiah 57 says that because of that, we will dwell with God in heaven. Amen. That's a reward that we have. Now, that's by design. God didn't just choose to do it that way. He wants us to surrender to God. And Mikhail brought up some great points, you know, about humility and fearing the Lord. I had a scripture of Psalms 111, which is, you know, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You know, if you think that by having a prideful heart that you're going to endure all the challenges of earth, that we have here on earth, it's not going to happen. It's only going to happen by us having a contrite spirit, by us allowing God to be in our lives. There's no other way. You can go. I was just thinking about this past week and the challenges that I had this past week. And if it wasn't for the Word and trying to live by the Word, I would be responding in a different way. You know, our nature, you know, that we used to live by would come out, you know. But God can't put His Spirit in us if we don't have a contrite heart. If we're not like that, because we don't see our need for God. And that's what God wants. He wants us to understand that we need Him. And we need to understand that. We need to understand that God plays a major role in our lives. And through that, by our obedience to the Word and having that, we will be able to do such incredible things if we will just make those decisions, the first decision to have that kind of spirit, but then the continual decision to live by that way, you know, to make the Word, you know, the standard and continue to live that way. So that's what I was thinking about, having a contrite spirit, that we will just have our understanding of what our need is and how God works in our lives. Thank you.
All right, good evening.
Good evening.
It's been a while since I've talked to some adults, but I figured if I just do a bunch of Bible reading, I keep going over the Word a whole lot, that less you hear my opinion, the more truth that you'll hear, and hopefully that you'll be able to interpret. My verse is James chapter 4, verses 6 through 10. It says, "But He gives a greater grace. Therefore it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you." You know, Rich, for a moment I thought he had the same verse as me when it says, God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. But the theme has been humility. God is obviously, He's opposed to the proud. And here in James chapter 4, James is talking to the 12 tribes that got distributed. So he's obviously talking to people who are Christians. and they're starting to live lustfully. They're no longer using His Spirit the way they should be. Earlier in James chapter 4, it says, friendship with the world is hostility towards God. So, they're obviously trying to be double-minded. They're still trying to go back to those old ways. They're not realizing what they have. Going back over the first part of that, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. If you submit yourself to God, then basically it's kind of like Mikkel was saying in that verse, you're breaking yourself. Let's turn to Titus chapter 2. This is verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires, and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age. So it's kind of going in contrast right there when it says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. You know, if you humble, submit yourself to God, then He gives you His grace. That leads to salvation, which in turn, when you have this mindset and you're humble, and you realize what He has done for you, the salvation that He's given you, that will help you deny ungodliness, as it says in Titus. You will resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You will be victorious. I like Proverbs chapter 28, verse 1. It's one of my favorites. It says, the wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. And you kind of see that contrast in Titus chapter 2. It says, you will live righteously. Whenever God's grace leads salvation, which instructs us to live righteous. So, I was like, the righteous are as bold as a lion. You know, Satan's going to come at you in all these different ways, but if you're focused on you have the right mindset, the new creation mindset, you focus and you build up your inner man, you can resist him. You can be as bold as a lion. If you look out in the world, people, they don't have God. So they're always running. They're insecure. They're trying to build up these walls. They try to make themselves look better than they are. And a lot of people are actually fooled by it, honestly. And they think, wow, that person, they are something great. But it's kind of fake. It shows their own insecurity. I'm going to keep reading in verse 8, James chapter 4. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. I'll just stop right there. Draw near to God. Cleanse your hands. Responsibility. If we keep looking throughout the New Testament, obviously you're going to see Jesus and His ministry. Everything is about you taking responsibility. I mean, one of my favorite things to think about is you can take a horse to water. You can't make it drink. God can set you up. He can set you inhabit your place of habitation, your point of time, so you can do all these different things for you. But if you don't take a drink of that water, it's all void. So, let's see. I'll keep going in this verse.
1 minute.
Okay. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord and He will exalt you. I have some other verses here, but I'll just kind of wrap it up. Luke 18, you see the Pharisee and you see the tax collector. Obviously, there are some big contrasts right there. The Pharisee is praying, saying, I'm sure glad I'm not like this tax collector over here. And this tax collector is beating his breast. He's saying, he's mourning, basically. He's saying how he's a sinner. And that's kind of what I think about this verse, kind of like what my dad was reading out of Isaiah, a contrite spirit. That's something that God can actually work with. I'll wrap it up. Philippians 2, chapter 2, verse 1. Okay. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, If any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose, doing nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, though, although he exists in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God exalted him and bestowed on him the name of which every knee shall bow. So, that's all I have for tonight. I wrap it up. Hey.
Well, that works out good. So my passage is Philippians 2.
My passage is Philippians 2, and starting in verse 5, which you just heard, which is awesome because, you know, I'm lucky, I guess. Me and Lorenzo are lucky because we got to go at the end, so we get to see what the theme is. So the theme is humility. And it's a fitting passage to have at the end because our greatest example of humility is Jesus Christ. If we read this again, what Lorenzo just read in Philippians 2 and verse 5 says, "Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." And then, of course, it goes on, you know, "For this reason God also highly exalted him and gave him that name which is above every name." It's interesting to note that Jesus humbled himself and took on our form. You know, it says the form of a bondservant. He became a man, and I think we were hearing it today. He wasn't some sort of a great man or a strong man or a powerful man or a mighty man. He was kind of a servant of men. So being found as a man, he was a lowly man. And if we look up earlier in the passage, it tells us in verse 3, it says, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves." It says, "Don't look out for your own personal interests, but the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which is also in Christ Jesus." That's the attitude he had. That attitude of regarding another as more important than himself is the attitude that caused him to take the form of a bondservant and come down to earth. Humble himself. Humble himself. Because he had that humility and he did what he did, therefore God bestowed on him his name. Everyone knows that Jesus is the best, the greatest person that ever lived. Everybody knows that. Even wicked people out in the earth, everybody knows Jesus. It's Jesus. He has the highest name in all creation because he had the most humility in all creation. And he had the opportunity to have that because he was the highest. He was the Son of God. He was with God. So, being the highest, he humbled himself the very most and went and did the thing that gave us that example of that utter humility. I think it was Rich that brought it out. He washed his disciples' feet the night before he was going to go die. That's what was important for him to do, is to show them that attitude of humility. Anyways, when God saw that, when he died and God saw that, he took him and he set him first place over everything. That's that attitude that we also ought to have in ourselves, is the humility, following all these great things that everybody just said. So, here we are, end of time. Let's all have a great week.
Okay, just a closing comment or two. You guys obviously picked up it was about humility. And that's really what it's all about. I know it was for me. I used to say I wasn't going to go under anybody's thumb. But when you realize who God is, and it's proven to you that the Bible is the Word of God, God exists, He is a rewarder of those who seek Him, it's pretty easy to humble yourself. And like was just mentioned by Josh, one thing I want you guys to remember, when you humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, you have His protection, of course. just like Jesus was exalted, what did God do with you? He exalted you and you're seated right there with Him. See, so we humble ourselves. We listen to God's Word. We're a contrite spirit. We understand we need to be teachable. But we don't know everything. We sign on the dotted line and let God fill in the information, say, I'll salute and execute. That's true humility, brother. So I'm really appreciative of these guys that came up tonight. I just want to make one correction. I talked about Will and Lorenzo and said the father and son trio with the Holy Spirit. But father and son duo, you know, that's our double barrel shotgun. Appreciate your guys' attention tonight. Did a great job, didn't they? I love this stuff. You guys? All right. We'll look forward to next time. Have a good one.